that kind of violence has never been visited upon America, at least not in anybody's living memory. And but not only America. I live, actually, you think I live in South Africa, Gerald. I live in France. I live in central France. And when you bring up the name Sarkozy... I've been living in central France now for over a decade, and the simple truth is, we're watching unemployment here skyrocket. I mean, it is going through the roof. America and France are in a parallel path to destruction as far as their economies. And I can only see bad events on the horizon here. Now, one of the things that I'm hoping that I can do here is to ameliorate some of the awful parts of this for people who are willing to suspend their disbelief long enough to look into the facts. When they're able to do that, they're going to go out and buy seeds and start a garden. They're going to go out and say, look, I can't afford an SUV. Maybe I'll get myself a little putt-putt mobile and a used one at that. Maybe I will cut back on my big vacations. And see, but still people live, they don't want to face these facts, Gerald. This is one of the reasons why, being a trend researcher, you're often looking at, they look at you sometimes, I'm sure, and look at you like glazed and say, what are you talking about, Gerald Celente? Because what you're saying to them just doesn't fit into their paradigm. How are we going to get people to wake up?
No, what they say is, they at first, you know, I could tell you now, people want to hear what we say more than ever. Matter of fact, if you go to the Middle East News today, to the newspaper, here's a major feature on us we knew nothing about. We're being swamped from all over the world. And by the way, I'm going to have to cut this interview short in about 10 minutes. And,
yep.
And I know we said because we are so swamped, and I'm really overloaded. And,
yep.
And I'm sorry. So, but anyway, what happened, I can tell you the scenario. For a number of years, people kept calling us gloom and doomers. They didn't want to hear it. And now they're in the position now, where a huge portion want the truth. And that's what we're known for, being the truth in trends. And as you had mentioned in my introduction, you know, I have a track record, my credentials are there. And as you mentioned, in bad times and good, we put our neck on the line to say what we believed.
Yeah.
Whether it was, so now the people, here's where they're at. There are three groups, basically. The ones that want to knows. The other ones are the ones that are still in denial because they've lost so much or they fear they're going to lose. And the third group is the I don't want to know. They don't want to know anything, even if it turns bad.
Yep.
The denials and those that are hiding from it, a big portion of those, Darryl, have lost everything that they have.
Yep.
They have saved all their lives. They've worked for companies all their lives. And now they no longer have pension plans. They've lost their health insurance. They no longer have their IRAs and the 401ks. They're going down to nothing. So what they're hoping is that a new administration will somehow save the day and raise the value of their stocks.
Well, what is Mr. Obama going to deliver to them? And I have a terrible suspicion it's going to be horror.
It's the same team.
It,
you know,
the
they talked
team.
About change. Well, you know, again, we only deal with the facts. Look at the team he's brought in. As his chief of staff, he brought in the Republican equivalent of Karl Rove, Rahm Emanuel, who's
yep.
known in Washington for being foul-mouthed, abrasive, and a political cutthroat.
Well, and a dual-citizen Israeli. Gerald, a dual-citizen Israeli.
And he's also a Clinton operative.
Yes, he
Number
is.
Two, he brought in John Podesta. This is the man that was going to bring in the change. Podesta is the head of the third largest lobbying group in the United States, whose clients include the largest military contractors in the world, including General Dynamics and Lockheed. Now he's brought in his attorney general, another Clinton holdover, who gave pardons to the biggest criminals in the country after Clinton left office. A whole number of his staff, including of the Clinton team, including now Hillary Clinton, being put forth as the Secretary of State. There is no change. On the economic front, he brought in Robert Rubin and Larry Summers. Robert Rubin and Larry Summers, as you well know, and well being versed as an economic historian,
yep.
They are the ones that put the death nail into the Glass-Steagall Act, was a banking regulation put in place during the Great Depression that would prohibit the banksters from robbing the people blind as they are now. And Clinton signed that bill, and it was also pushed by the Republican Phil Graham. So Obama is proving to be whiter than white. He is bringing in the same whole thing that existed before. There's no change. There's nothing new.
Well, you're exactly right. And what I fear with people like Richard Holbrooke and this guy Dennis Ross, I mean, what we're getting here is not only a retread, but a retread of some very terrible leadership at the worst time possible. So I only see bad tidings for all, and that doesn't bode well for the relationship America's supposed to have with the rest of the world either. And this Obama mania is...
The relationships with the rest of the world, that's one thing. But remember, they're all members of the same club here. So when you're talking about Republicans and Democrats, let us first understand, as I mentioned, that I'm a political atheist, and I view both of those organizations as criminal organizations. And I'll tell you why. This isn't just an outburst of rage. It's a moral issue. The moral issue being that the Republicans and the Democrats are both supporting a war against innocent people who've done nothing to us, and for wars being fought on reasons that are factually false, whether or not they knew the information beforehand or didn't, that's an irrelevant issue. The fact is, wars are being fought for reasons that are untrue. And the Republicans send the troops, and the Democrats sign the checks to so they can go kill. So on that level, I'm against, I call them criminal organizations. On the other level, I also look at robbery as a crime. They're robbing the people blind in broad daylight by forcing us to bail out their friends. The United States now owns the largest insurance company, AIG, the largest mortgage brokerages, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They're using our money to buy up banks to be run by the government, who's taking shares in them. So what's going on in America is a transition that we've never seen before. This is, by any stretch of the imagination, you could no longer call it free enterprise. You could call it communism, you could call it socialism, you could call it fascism. You cannot call it free enterprise nor democracy.
Kleptocracy. It's a kleptocracy is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Gerald, I know you'll be busy, and I know you want to go. The last thing I wanted to bring up with you, I've been working for a long time trying to get traction on history and historic events, and what I'm finding out is that I have a large Muslim and Islamic audience. Do you have any ideas about how we're going to pan out with the Palestinian issue in Israel and this whole? I mean, we've got a suffering people there for the last 50 years, and things aren't getting better for them. It's 60 years, in fact. And I read more horror every day, and I wonder. I hope against hope that things are going to be good news someday, but always it's worse. And I'm wondering.
Let me generalize it. As I mentioned, both of these are criminal organizations.
Yeah.
I've been reading about peace plans and roadmaps to peace for all my life.
Me too. Yep.
And as long as the same, you cannot expect any good to happen from people that commit crimes of this nature.
Yep.
So, for example, you could go to, I'm on Fox TV from time to time, and I mentioned on one of the shows when they asked me about would the United States invade Iran. And I said to them, if the United States invades Iran and we get involved in that in any way, it will begin be the beginning of World War III. And that they should show respect that these are the Persians. And they've been around a long time and they're not going anywhere. So people better get it in their head. You see, I'm a believer. There are many things about America that I do very much care about. And as a citizen, I abide by. And one of them is the founding and the format of the basics of our Constitution. And,
yep.
and George Washington, the first president, not to be involved in foreign entanglements.
Yep.
We have enough problems. They can't straighten up. You can't walk on the streets of the South Bronx without getting mugged. What are we doing over in other countries telling other people how to live? The only reason we're involved there is because of what they call strategic interests, or we can call natural resources. If the main export in Iraq had been broccoli, we wouldn't have been there.
Well, I also think we're there for Israel, and that APEC lobby has a lot to say about who and what and when and how, and that has to be recognized as well, huh?
As I said, you will not see any. You mentioned the players,
yep.
Ross, and you went Holbrooke, and down the line, Madeleine Albright. You look at the whole Obama team. He talks about change. It adds up to less than change of a dollar. Matter of fact, if there was such a thing as change of a penny, that's about how much change you're going to see. So knowing what is, you can see what will be.
Yep.
By knowing what is, you know what will be. Current events form future trends.
So, Joe, I want to say goodbye. I want to thank you so much for spending this 45 minutes with my audience. You've been a wonderful guest. Very helpful in helping people understand these facts, Gerald. And I will maybe call you in 6 or 8 weeks and see if you've got 5 or 10 minutes for us again.
And that would be wonderful. And if people want to see more of what we're talking about and see our forecasts, they can go to our website, which is trendsresearch.com. Trendsresearch.com.
Thank you very much, Gerald Celente. And I my hat's off to you, my friend. Good luck with you and your family.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. Ladies and gentlemen, Gerald Celente, Trends Institute. You know, some of the things that Gerald has discussed in his predictions in the past, amazing things, actually. You know, he predicted the gourmet coffee trend. He predicted the bottled water trend. He predicted the first two recessions we had over the last 30 years. Now, I'm talking about long in advance of these events. He also predicted that America would fall into a possible revolution. I didn't get him to get into that, but we talked about a lot of other things. Didn't have him for the full hour as I had hoped. But none of these things are surprises. Anybody with a question or a comment can call me for the last 15 minutes. We can open up the phone lines, and maybe if you've got a comment about Mr. Celente or even about Mr. Nader's comments earlier. You know, one of the things I try to do is get people to push the envelope a little bit. Many of them have vested interests and sometimes are unable to be as frank or honest, and they speak in code. I think Mr. Nader uses a lot of code, and I also think Gerald is a straight shooter, but at the same time, he also walks lightly on certain subjects. And I have to be honest with you, my research... And I can't expect everybody on this planet to have done the same kind of in-depth research as I've done, because in order to do that, you would have to have read hundreds of books as I have. And the fact of the matter is that this information that I provide you about world Zionism and about control of our banking by certain groups, our media by certain groups, our medical by certain groups, our food systems, our gold mining systems, all of this stuff, I have sussed out the information, and I know from whence I speak. Who am I speaking to?
It says Aisha Devil.
Hello, Aisha. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm okay. What's your question tonight?
What a lovely program. The both guests that you have brought in, but one was very defensive. He's afraid of the truth to speak
yes.
out the truth, and the other one was telling us the truth the way we want to hear it.
Well, Gerald Celente spoke from his research. I mean, the guy spends an awful lot of time looking at what's going on around him, and when he speaks, I really trust his assessments, because he's right. He's right on the mark.
You know, we are in the business community here. We have a business here, and whatever you've been telling us all along, it's happening.
Yes.
Things are getting from bad to worse. People are getting poorer by the day, and people, you know, a normal, ordinary person walking in the street is asking for money for food or asking for food. Things are getting desperate all over.
Yeah, well, it's going to get worse from here, and I'm sad to say that, but it is, and I'm warning. My warnings to people, Aisha, are this.
Yes.
If you don't take what I'm saying seriously, you will pay a big price later.
And you know, since you've told us to plant and everything, we've started planting a garden as well. And we've taken a lot of the advice that you have given us.
Well, I'm proud that you would trust me in that regard. I've never been a man who mixes words. I always tell things as I see them. And I don't lie. And I don't ever want to make people suffer if they haven't done anything wrong. That's why I often have to make the caveat about a lot of Jewish people not being involved, because they're not all involved. But at the same time, these people I had on today are really reluctant to go as far as I do, and that doesn't make them bad people. What it makes them is, they have their own perspective they come from. Me, I throw caution to the wind, and I say it like I see it. And that's the way it works. So I'm glad you're listening to some of the advice. You will be pleased one day as you're harvesting that food.
Yes.
that you decided to heed that advice, I believe.
Yeah, thanks very much for the lovely program, Daryl.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was that helps me. You know, I've had one of the hardest days I've had in probably a few years. I want to share with everybody a little something. I have a very sick dog, and I, you know, a lot of you might say, well, you know, your sick dog. Well, I've had this dog he's 15 years old, and I've loved him for years and years. He's my boy, and he is not well, and my heart is breaking when I think about it. So I've had to just move past my down feelings and just buck it up today and kind of move on with the work I have to do. But my heart's breaking today, and that's just the way it is. This is a cycle of life. I have to accept the cycle of life and embrace it. And what ends up happening is that we learn a little bit more about ourselves and about our world when we do that. I want everybody out there to start reaching out to the person going down the road if they need food. Maybe if you have more than others, you could keep a small amount of food with you, even a bag of crisps or something, or a bag of rice for them and their families. I don't know. This is the time for generosity, for kindness, because unless we're able to help the people around us, what is the human family's mission on this planet? I mean, we're here to be loving and caring to one another, not murderous and selfish. And this is the thing that I hope everybody can start moving toward. And Aisha has done a wonderful thing by planting her garden. I hope she enjoys that, because it is enjoyable, and then is generous with the result of it. I don't know if we have another caller. Is there someone else on the line? No other caller. Well, that's okay. We'll talk a little bit about some of these other issues. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program. You know, the Fridays are important nights on CII. Anayat Wade has listened to some of the things that I have said, and then he told me that he spent a little time going over some of the books and reading some of the articles and so forth, the research that was done on the French Connection, and it brought him to other places, other sites, other researchers. And what he's been able to do by that is have a certain amount of trust in the fact that I'm doing my best here, to be honest. And that goes a long way with me, because I listen to Anayat's programming, and I know he's doing the very same thing, and I trust the fact that his information is the best he can find and present. And so Fridays on CII are turning out to be a very powerful one-two combination here, between these two programs. I have to say, it's about saving people from desperation and about making everybody work harder at coming together. We have a caller on the line.
Yes, good evening, Daryl.
And who am I speaking to?
Bonjour, it's Abu Bakr.
Abu Bakr, how are you, my friend?
Fine, thank you, man. I hope your dog recovers quick and cheers you up.
It's not likely, Abu Bakr. That's the thing that's making me the saddest. It's not likely. However, I have some hope, but it's fading. So I'm having to come to grips with that. He's a wonderful guy. Let me tell you something about him, Abu Bakr. We found him in the road. And somebody had thrown him out, and he was blind. He's been blind his entire life. So we've had a blind dog here for 13 years, and I've loved him like more than any companion you could have. And he's been special.
A dog is a man's best friend.
Yep, you're right.
So
you have a question tonight.
Yes, you had quite a good guest on, in the last 45 minutes. And,
yeah.
I think, as you said, if you read between the lines and the code language you use there, everybody needs to wake up and, needs to plan, what's ahead. And,
right.
As you're saying, people need to plant their own, food and, just coming back to the Muslim world, they need to, wake up, especially those out in the Middle East that are propping up, you mentioned Citibank, a lot of Arabs, they've been pumping in money into Citibank, and I hope they learn a lesson, and, they should hasten, the collapse of this.
Are they truly Islam, though? If somebody is doing that, and knowing full well the investment is going to a Jewish-controlled a usury organization, are they really following Islam? I think not.
Just in name, not indeed. Not by their actions. If then they would be just Muslim by sort of word, not by action. So
that's right.
They need to repent. And I can't believe some of them are so thick that they can't realize that that they are propping up usury-based capitalistic system, and when they can pull the plug on them so easily, is this unfortunately they get wooed by wine and women, and which is also forbidden in Islam, and that's how they get tempted, and they lose sort of their focus. So,
I'm a little more cynical. I think they were compromised even before they found the wine and the women. I don't think these people were true Muslims to start with. I think they're basically lying controllers, in for the most part, maybe atheists or even crypto Jews. I don't believe them to be honest brokers for Islam. I believe them to be frauds.
Yeah, well, a lot of things boil down to materialism, and that's where they're losing sort of their moral compass. And that's what the Muslims, the normal layman, the man in the street who's listening, needs to be very careful of, not to sort of lose their moral compass, and to be very careful and to learn a lesson, because we normally just bombarded even on this radio station with equity funds, trying to suck people's money, suck people into investing into Zionist controlled companies. And I hope
A direct investment in a company is different than usury, because and I believe in Islamic investment, if you become part of the company that brings forward a product or something, that's different than trying to charge interest, is it not?
No, well, the whole, stock market system, as your guest said earlier, even Ralph Nader, you're looking at, a casino, and gambling, is forbidden in Islam. So, the whole stock market system is a usury-based capitalistic, Western economic system. And exactly, Ralph Nader did hit the nail on the head about how the corporates, how they're raping, the people, especially the shareholders. I mean, the top executives line their pockets, with millions of dollars, and the shareholders get a pittance. And, well, I say their shares are getting worthless, And so, you know, people need to cut their losses in. I mean, they need to take heed of what, like your last guest was just saying. And they need, you know, to sort of take, you know, action now instead of having nothing later on, and not get, you know, swayed by aggressive ambush marketing as I, you know, see it. And
well, you know, the other thing, though, we have to do, and I think this is imperative, that we do this immediately. You are a 5 or 7% of the population of South Africa, and as a community, Islam in South Africa is a very strong and vibrant community. But we are not islands, people. People are not islands. What we are is we come from a family of mankind that needs to reach out to one another and become closer as human beings, because I respect everybody's right to understand God in their own terms, but what we have in our world is a system that splits us apart and destroys our interest in becoming friends with others, and this is not a way forward for human beings. What we need to do is understand that we have the same goals in mind. Abu Bakr, you want the best for your family. That is no different than any other family on the face of this planet. You probably have a pet dog at home, and if he died, you would be heartbroken, just as I am. When I'm scratched, I bleed, just like you. Yeah. When someone insults me, my feelings are hurt, just like you. We experience this life in very similar ways, and we should acknowledge that. We should acknowledge our strengths and similarities rather than what makes us different, because frankly, this is what these bad criminals rely upon, is that they can separate us. And as long as we remain separate, they will remain in control.
Yeah, definitely, yes, yeah. And, you know, as the Muslim listeners, you know, need to realize now, you know, who they're going to sort of, you know, support. Are they going to support these corrupt criminals, or, you know, are they going to reach out towards the poor and needy and help to, you know, instead of pumping their money to designers-controlled companies and equity funds, they need to rather, you know, start these, you know, even the subsistence farming and, you know, help the poor to, you know, get involved in those kind of, you know, in activities, which is, you know, going to help to sustain people.
That's right.
You know, instead of wasting your money, it's going to go down to a bottomless pit, you know, where people is going to, you know, zap your money. So I hope, you know, the listeners, you know, wake up, smell the roses, and take heed and, you know, take the corrective action that's needed.
Thank you, Abu Bakr, for your wonderful analysis. I agree with you 100%, my friend.
Sure. You have a wonderful week. Maybe you're on Tuesday again.
Thank you, sir. I have another show coming up on Tuesday. It is the Somerville Divestment Project, about people trying to leave Israeli investments in the United States. And this is a very good project. We're going to bring back our guest that we were supposed to have that we couldn't on Tuesday of next week, so we can look forward to that. I want to thank everybody in the audience for being so kind as to tune in this evening, and the CII staff for having placed aside the time for me to put up that most important conversation I had with Mr. Nader. I do have to say he was a little afraid to go into the depth of these things, or if he even understood them. I sometimes assume people have done the research like I have, and that is an assumption that I should not make, because many of the people hearing these truths from me are hearing it for the first time worldwide. So I cannot assume the world is on the same level of understanding as I am. But I have to believe that he was also covering himself just a little bit, and that's my take on it. So until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you all a good weekend here and a wonderful productive week. Make the best of your time with your family. Do something to help your future. Start a garden, as I've recommended, and Aisha has so wisely done. And share that event with your family. It's a really great thing to do together. And until the next time, take care of yourselves and be well. Bye-bye now.